Welcome to today's deep dive. We are really thrilled to have you with us because today we are stepping into a piece of world building that is, I mean, it's just incredibly layered.
Oh, absolutely.
And frankly, it's a masterclass in cognitive dissonance. I want you to just imagine your typical morning routine for a second.
Okay, setting the scene.
Right. You wake up, you pour a cup of coffee, and you turn on the local news to catch the daily weather forecast.
Mm-hmm.
And you're expecting the meteorologist to tell you if you need, you know, an umbrella for the afternoon commute, or maybe a heavier coat because there's a sudden drop in temperature.
The usual stuff.
Exactly, the usual. But instead of just tracking high-pressure systems and cold fronts, that local weather report gives you the exact statistical probability of a werewolf attack in your zip code.
Which is just, wow.
I know, right? Imagine them warning you about rogue, dark magic entities roaming your streets, but using the exact same casual clinical tone they use to warn you about black ice on the highway.
It is a completely jarring concept, but that seamless blend of mundane forecasting and cosmic horror is exactly the reality we are exploring today.
Yes. And for this deep dive, we are pulling from a really fascinating piece of source material.
A very specific one, yeah.
We have this highly detailed, incredibly serious blog post from a site called the Paranormal Activity Forecast.
Mm-hmm.
The document is dated March 2nd, 2026. And it carries the rather fantastic title of, wait for it, Wud Storm Moon Werewolf Warning.
Exclamation point included, I'm assuming.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And our mission for you today is to really explore the highly specific rules, the bizarre mechanics, and the underlying logic of the supernatural universe presented in this document.
We want to break it down.
We do. We want to equip you with the exact knowledge you would need to survive the perilous, monster-filled month of March 2026,
yeah.
Assuming you suddenly found yourself just dropped into this reality.
What makes this such a captivating read is how the universe actually treats the supernatural. Yeah, the world building doesn't treat monsters as something mysterious and unknowable. It treats them as a hard science.
Right.
We are looking at a rigidly rule-bound world where actual verifiable astronomical events.
Like eclipses?
Exactly. Things like total lunar eclipses and the spring equinox, they interact directly with concepts like metaphysical luck and demonic biology.
It's wild.
It operates on very specific measurable parameters, which somehow makes it feel even more dangerous because the threats are fully quantified.
Okay, let's unpack this core threat because it really sets the stage for everything else.
Mm.
In this universe, the month of March is traditionally associated with what they call the storm moon.
Right.
Now, in our normal reality, a storm moon just refers to the time of year known for turbulent weather. Heavy rains, late season snowstorms.
That messy transition from winter to spring.
Exactly. But here, the storm moon carries a specific enchanted energy. And this meteorological energy physically interacts with what is explicitly called the demonic DNA found in werewolves.
Which is a fascinating phrase.
It causes an exponential surge in their aggression. Which actually makes me pause for a second because demonic DNA. So we aren't talking about a magical curse here. We are talking about actual genetics.
Exactly. And that is a brilliant biological premise. They aren't just cursed individuals wandering the moors. They have a specific identifiable genetic makeup that reacts to lunar and meteorological energy.
So it's an environmental trigger.
Yes, an environmental trigger for a biological response. And the situation in 2026 is uniquely bad because on March 3rd, there is a total lunar eclipse.
Oh, boy.
Which transforms the already dangerous storm moon into a blood storm moon.
Right. So the stakes get elevated from a bad rainstorm to a literal blood red sky.
What's fascinating here is the absolute clinical detachment used to rank this threat.
Oh, the ranking system. I love this part.
It's so good. This specific March moon has been officially rated by paranormal professionals, which is a phrase that implies an entire accredited, perhaps even unionized, industry. They ranked it as the second most dangerous moon of the entire year.
It is treated literally like a Category 4 hurricane warning.
If you think about the sociological implications of that, it means municipal budgets probably have line items for werewolf damage.
Huh, they'd have to.
Insurance premiums in this universe must be absolutely astronomical during a bloodstorm moon.
Oh, absolutely. Act of God or act of werewolf is definitely a clause in their homeowner's insurance.
It has to be.
And we should really pin the fact that this is only the second most dangerous moon.
Right, only the second.
The number one spot belongs to the Halloween blood moon,
yeah.
Which we are absolutely going to circle back to later.
And we can't skip that.
But for now, let's look at how humanity is actually supposed to defend itself in March. because your survival doesn't just depend on locking your doors. It depends on the actual physics of luck.
Yes.
The ambient good luck of St. Patrick's season normally acts as a buffer to decrease the danger of the storm moon.
Which is where the concept of luck becomes truly fascinating in this text. In this universe, luck isn't a vague feeling or just random chance. It is a tangible, measurable, almost atmospheric force.
I'm still trying to wrap my head around that. So is it like a force field? How does ambient luck actually stop a biological monster?
Think of the ambient good luck in this universe like the Earth's ozone layer.
Oh. Yeah.
Usually it is thick enough to block out the most harmful UV rays, or in this case, the aggressive impulses of demonic DNA. Good luck actively repels that dark energy, providing a metaphysical shield over the general population.
But the calendar in 2026 has created a perfect storm that effectively punches a massive hole in that ozone layer.
Exactly.
Because the March 3rd Bloodstorm Moon is too far away from St. Patrick's Day on the 17th for the good luck to be at its peak. But it gets worse, right? There's a structural failure in the luck ecosystem itself.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, the alignment of the dates creates what the text calls a dark luck metaphysical energy bridge with Friday the 13th.
A dark luck bridge.
The proximity of the Bloodstorm Moon to Friday the 13th forms a literal bridge of dark energy that completely nullifies any lingering good luck.
That is terrifying.
Failed fortune flourishes under the red rays of the eclipse. Again, if luck is a tangible metric, imagine what this does to the global economy.
Oh, man.
Wall Street must be actively trading luck futures, and a Friday the 13th energy bridge probably causes massive market crashes.
That implies your standard everyday defenses are just completely compromised, and the statistics provided in the source are brutally practical.
Very practical.
Standard werewolf repellents, which I love, by the way.
Yeah.
That implies you can just pick up a can of werewolf mace at the local hardware store.
Right next to the bug spray.
Exactly. The source says they will be completely useless at least 50% of the time.
Half the time, just totally useless.
And the other half of the time, they only have a minimal effect.
Yeah.
Then you might think, okay, I'll just lean into the Irish magic. I'll buy Lucky Charms or summon a leprechaun.
A logical thought process in this world.
But that's actually a terrible idea.
Yeah.
Though I do have to ask, how does one even summon a leprechaun? Is there a hotline?
The mechanics of the summoning aren't detailed in the blog post, unfortunately. But the consequences are explicitly clear.
And they are bad.
Very bad. Under this mad moon of malevolence, which is tightly controlled by demonic forces, the entire supernatural food chain is inverted.
Meaning?
Leprechauns, the very beings that embody good luck, actually become fair prey for the werewolves.
It's just a tragic image. You summon a magical creature for protection, and you basically just order delivery for a werewolf.
Pretty much.
And as if that isn't bad enough, the absence of good luck opens the door for something called the Cluricons.
The Cluricons.
Which sounds almost whimsical until you read the actual description.
The Cluricons are described as evil anti-leprechauns.
Anti-leprechaun.
They thrive in the deeply unholy light of the blood moon. While leprechauns spread good fortune, these entities operate at night, spreading bad luck and actively trying to make dark deals with unsuspecting humans.
Wow.
It is a brilliant expansion of folklore.
It's like supernatural identity theft mixed with a predatory payday loan.
That is exactly what it is.
You step outside, your hardware store repellent fails, your leprechaun gets eaten, and a Cluricon offers you a terrible bargain in the red moonlight.
Just a terrible night all around.
But here's where it gets really interesting. And honestly, this is where the logic of this universe gets delightfully weird.
The loophole.
Yes, the loophole. It has to do with a bizarre rule during the eclipse itself. During the actual total lunar eclipse, the werewolves don't get bigger or more monstrous. They actually revert back to their human form.
But they retain their monstrous werewolf persona.
Yes.
They keep all of their superhuman strength, their unnatural speed, agility, and heightened senses. They are full-blown monsters trapped inside a completely normal human body.
Wait, hold on. Let's think about the physics of that for a second.
Okay.
If a giant wolf monster shrinks back down to the size of a normal accountant or a barista, where does the mass go? How do they retain superhuman strength if they have the physical, biological muscle mass of an average person?
That is where the magical density overrides the physical biology. The demonic DNA condenses.
Condenses, okay.
They aren't relying on human muscle anymore. They are powered by concentrated supernatural energy. And that is what makes it so incredibly dangerous.
But you can't see it.
Right. Before and after the eclipse, they are giant, terrifying wolves,
yeah,
you know, to run. But during the eclipse, you have absolutely no visual warning.
Which is brilliant psychological horror. You're walking down the street, trying to get to a safe indoor location. You see a fellow human walking toward you.
Perfectly normal looking.
Yeah, in a normal werewolf scenario, you run. But here, a guy in a business suit or a woman walking a labradoodle could suddenly leap 30 feet in the air and rip you apart. You just can't trust your own eyes.
It creates absolute paranoia. However, the world building does balance this out a bit.
It does give humanity a fighting chance.
This human form phase is a double-edged sword for the monsters. Because they are confined to human bodies, they lack the physical armor and sheer bulk of their wolf form.
Right.
They are more easily annihilated or apprehended. And look at who is taking advantage of this vulnerability in the text.
Yes.
The hunters.
Werewolf hunters, various paranormal professionals, and the U.S. Paranormal Defense Agency.
The U.S. Paranormal Defense Agency. I love that detail so much.
It's fantastic.
It casually implies that the United States government has a heavily armed, highly funded branch dedicated exclusively to supernatural containment.
Yep.
And they are out on the streets during the eclipse, bagging and tagging human-looking werewolves.
Think about the budget for an agency like that. We are talking trillions of tax dollars funding tactical squads that monitor metaphysical energy bridges and hunt demonic DNA.
It's a whole other branch of the military.
They probably have entirely separate legal jurisdictions and black site containment facilities just for chloricons. It normalizes the absurd on a governmental level.
And they have to be incredibly well-funded because werewolves and chloricons are not the only things running around out there.
Not at all.
The Bloodstorm Moon acts as a beacon for an entire menagerie of evil. There is an armada of other entities. We are talking about vampires, dark practitioners of magic, poltergeists, and this is the one I cannot get over. Child-eating gnomes.
Yes. Just dropped into the text with zero elaboration.
None.
Casually listing child-eating gnomes right alongside vampires and poltergeists.
Are we supposed to just accept gnomes as a top-tier threat?
Apparently.
I mean, with a vampire, I understand the danger. I assume the vampires are using the Friday the 13th Dark Luck Bridge to completely bypass garlic or whatever standard defenses people normally use.
That makes sense.
But a gnome, do you just kick him over the fence?
Yeah.
How do you defend your yard against a dark magic's lawn ornament?
It really highlights how utterly saturated this universe is with mortal danger.
It's everywhere.
When ambient good luck is drained from the environment, even the smallest supernatural creatures become completely lethal. It's an ecosystem where humanity is constantly at the bottom of the food chain unless they follow the rules.
So what does this all mean for you, the listener, trying to survive this? The survival guidelines laid out in the blog are absolute, and they are highly specific.
You have to follow them to the letter.
First, you need to track the lunar percentages.
Yeah.
Do not rely on your eyes. You have to check the data.
Right.
You must stay indoors during the nights when the moon is 80% full or greater. The threat does not end until the moon drops below that exact threshold.
And the behavioral guidelines for staying indoors are equally strict.
They don't mess around.
No, you do not step foot out the door after sunset. And more importantly, you do not leave the house until full sunrise.
Right. And they give you a foolproof physical metric for knowing exactly when it is safe.
The newspaper rule.
Yes. The text says, don't even think of grabbing the newspaper off the porch until sunlight is reflecting off it.
It's so specific.
You can't just look at your phone or wait for the sky to get a little bright. You have to physically see the photons of the sun bouncing off the plastic bag of your morning paper.
Which is great advice.
It is, until you realize it's March in somewhere like Seattle, and you might not see direct sunlight for 3 days. You're just trapped inside your house forever.
It is a beautifully mundane survival tactic. You are hiding from child-eating gnomes and genetically modified werewolves, and your primary defense is waiting for a glare on a plastic bag.
It's so good. But thankfully, the universe doesn't leave humanity entirely defenseless.
No, there is a mechanism for recovery.
There is a timeline for hope in the form of what they call the Holy Lucky Trinity.
The Holy Lucky Trinity.
We talked about how the Friday the 13th energy bridge ruined the luck ozone layer early in the month, but the calendar eventually corrects itself.
It self-heals.
There are three critical dates. March 15th, which is the start of the Easter season. March 17th, which is St. Patrick's Day. And March 20th, the spring equinox.
When these three dates converge, they form this Holy Lucky Trinity, which salvages the spirit of good luck.
And again, the spirit isn't abstract.
Not at all. It is an active, weaponized force used in the ongoing battle against the dark entities that are hell-bent on global domination. It essentially recharges that metaphysical shield we talked about.
It is the ultimate cosmic reboot. You survive the darkness of early March, you kick the gnomes out of your yard, you avoid the human-looking werewolves, and you just wait for the calendar to hit March 15th so the luck ecosystem can heal itself.
This raises an important question about the human psyche in this universe.
Oh, definitely.
What does it do to a society to live in a world where your survival is entirely dependent on the literal mechanics of the calendar?
It would change everything.
Holidays aren't just days off work or excuses to eat chocolate anymore. Easter, St. Patrick's Day, the spring equinox. These are vital tactical defense systems.
Wow.
Humanity survives only because the cosmic calendar provides these pockets of weaponized good luck. It changes the entire sociological meaning of a holiday. You aren't celebrating. You are taking cover under a metaphysical shield.
You're absolutely right. A holiday parade in this universe isn't a celebration. It's a military operation to generate ambient luck.
Exactly.
So to summarize the survival tactics for you, the listener, if you ever find yourself in March 2026.
Takes notes.
Number one, watch your lunar percentages. If that moon hits 80%, you lock the doors.
Do not go outside.
Number two, trust absolutely no one during the window of the total lunar eclipse. That perfectly normal looking person on the sidewalk might have condensed demonic DNA.
Just avoid everyone.
Number three, if a tiny entity approaches you in the red moonlight offering a deal, run. It is a chloricon.
Do not sign anything.
And finally, hold out for the holy lucky trinity. Wait for the sun to physically hit your newspaper and trust the calendar to restore the balance.
That should get you through March. But before we wrap up, there is one final lingering mystery drawn from this world building.
Oh, the big one.
Something that hints at a much deeper, possibly darker reality. We mentioned earlier that the Halloween blood moon in October is the only natural blood moon without the need for a lunar eclipse.
Which scientifically makes no sense.
Think about the physics of that. If the moon turns blood red in October, but there is absolutely no astronomical explanation for it, no Earth shadow, no eclipse, what exactly is happening to our satellite?
Is it just magic?
Is it a purely magical manifestation caused by the sheer volume of paranormal energy on Earth during Halloween? Or, considering we know there is a heavily funded, highly active U.S. Paranormal Defense Agency monitoring everything?
Oh, a cover-up.
Is the government hiding the true nature of our solar system from us?
That is wild.
Are they masking a cosmic horror right above our heads? It is something for you to consider the next time you look up at the night sky.
A brilliant and terrifying thought to leave off on. Stay safe out there, keep an eye on those lunar percentages, and make sure you wait for the sun to hit the newspaper. We will catch you on the next deep dive.